Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, folks. Taylor Nielsen here.
Hey, it's me, Jordan Macon. Taylor, good to see you, my old friend.
Good to see you. It feels like it's been a spell since we've been podcasting together.
A spell or two. What is this, a witch's brewery?
What is this, Hocus Pocus 4? There you go. You're always doing Halloween stuff off-season, aren't you? You wear that spider shirt for the vacation episode.
Yeah, wore a spider shirt. I just, in general, look like a jack-o'-lantern. It's kind of my whole thing.
Oh, that's cute.
Ooh.
What, because you light up the room?
Thanks. That's the first nice thing. Your hands are clammy.
Okay. Thanks for returning the favor. How you doing today?
You know, I woke up this morning. I got out of bed. I looked in the mirror. I said, I cannot wait. I said, I cannot wait to podcast with my friend Taylor today.
Okay.
And my wife was standing next to me. She's like, who are you talking to me?
That's awesome.
No, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Let's see. Nothing's real new.
Dude, you're so coy and cool, dude. I like the mystique you establish on camera.
Friends, let me know in the comments what you think the deal is with me. Doctors have theorized, but what do you think? That being said,
you know what I think the deal is with you?
What?
That you mean a lot to me.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's not make our viewers tear up right before a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, let's see who our grade A comic is today. What are you saying?
I can't wait.
To the
it's
clip.
A little dangerous talking about politics in today's world. I think that it's splitting us up as a country. Especially this idea of the wall, like that has some people want it, some people don't want it, right? I have this idea that would like appease everyone. Trump should have hired a bunch of Polynesians to build the wall. It's like the conservatives would be excited because there's a plan, they're going to get a wall, right? The liberals would be excited because it's not going to happen.
All right, you saw him, you love him. You just saw his clip from the specific Islander. Welcome to the program, Josh Fonacalafi, everybody.
Hello, Josh.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, man.
Oh, of course, thanks for having me on.
You battled through traffic to get here.
You said that like you were going to say cancer. Like you battled through cancer.
He had a long,
won a battle,
an arduous
with
battle
traffic.
With traffic, and you're sitting here in front of us today, stronger than ever.
You're an inspiration.
Yes.
Thanks for being here, dude.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's a great clip.
I thought long and hard about that.
Yeah. Well, we chose that clip. It's a fan favorite. Well, I was looking at the retention curve on the video. People seem to like that one.
Polynesians.
We like bring up the retention curve a lot on the wall program. Can I ask you a question about Polynesian culture?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Why I'm sweating so much.
Oh, I'm already. We're getting sweaty together, my friend. Is it cool for me to do this?
Yeah.
Or is that appropriation or
no,
something?
No. I feel like the Polynesians are very like laid back about their culture. It's for everyone. You know what this is though?
It's the Shakas.
Yeah, you know it's in
Hang Loose.
Right. Yeah,
you let them. I want to hear.
The origin of that.
I don't
like
know,
where I learned
It was a surfer that got his three fingers bitten off by a shark.
No,
and really?
So, yeah. So when the kids would come by on the school buses, he'd wave.
Is it a Polynesian surfer?
That's how they waved back.
And what does shaka mean? Is that,
probably that it was like really shocking. That
is that really
were,
it?
I know that story, but I don't know if that's what shaka means. But
that's awesome. Shaka, that guy sounds awesome.
I went to the Polynesian Cultural Center in Hawaii. So I know a thing or two.
I like the idea of you being there.
But they love to have all the white people give the shaka. They were always telling us to give shakas.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
They like to, they, it, I think it's a culture that we don't really care about. And so,
it's wait, all white people or Polynesian people?
Polynesian people. We're just like, yeah, it's all food.
It's, but
I don't even, like, I don't know where certain lines are drawn. Excuse me if I'm breathing. I have a baby at home that has a little bit of a cold. And so if I'm wheezing and breathing heavily in the mic, it's because I'm fat. But I don't know where to, like, draw the lines a lot of times with the Polynesian culture. Like, what is part of it? There was a girl that served her mission in Samoa, and she came home and saw me, and she was really excited because I look like this, but I'm just like, nah, I was born in Utah. Yeah. She was like, what's the most Polynesian? Do you eat a lot of Polynesian food? Like the teriyaki chicken? Like, that's Japanese. Chop suey? Do you make the chop suey? That's also Japanese.
Yeah.
There's this really disgusting paste called poi that they make, and I don't eat any of that.
What is poi?
Poi. It's root. Everything's a root.
Okay.
But poi is a root. That they turn into a paste that they put on other food to make the paste taste better. So it's like rhubarb. If you add a bunch of sugar, it's like, oh, now it tastes good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think I eat a lot of mobettas. Is any of that real Polynesian food?
Do you eat the teriyaki chicken? Because yes. It's very authentic.
Is Jordan, he wants to ask if he's honorary Polynesian now. Because he's used all 10 stamps on his Mobetta's card.
I eat a lot of Mac salad.
If you use all 10 stamps in one day, then yes, you're Polynesian.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I imagine, can we go back to you at the Polynesian Center? Just imagine you explaining to people there what things mean for some reason. It's so funny to me.
Like, as a tourist, like, not dressed there. It just, this is a coconut.
At one point, we were watching one of the presentations, and they have brought someone up to, like, do it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the leaf skirt on me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they put some big, you know, Polynesian hat on me. And then they had me bang a drum.
Oh, so the Tongan. Yeah, the Tongan.
I've never been more humiliated in my entire life.
That's what they're shooting for. I believe that. They sit there and they go, what's a skill that you've never done? Let's climb a tree. Let's check that.
Yeah. And they're like, give us a good scream. I got to... And
it's really bad. I wish I could see that.
I have the footage if you want to see it.
The scam that I always find funny at the Polynesian Culture Center is after they've made you sit through their presentation out in the hot sun, they come out and they're like, oh, we got this nice, cool, delicious ice cream with all the island flavors, and it's delicious. And the guy even, like, takes a bite, and he's like, oh, it's so good. And then they start bringing them out, and they're like, they're $12 a bowl.
Yeah, man.
There we go. That's just good business.
Man, I liked it. I like a luau.
Do you need a cart? Do you want a cart? You want a Polynesian
cart?
That's
what I do. What, sorry, I was trying to bring up things I knew.
Man,
the words that you know. I know luau,
luau, shakas. You know,
surfing. That's a word. Surfing.
But we did what Pete Jr. because he spent a little bit of time in Hawaii. Surfing a lot. He taught us about dekine.
Oh, dekine.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell us what that means?
That means whatever you want it to mean. It's
what he said.
It's the most annoying pigeon talk. Can you get dekine over there?
Pigeon talk. What is that?
That's
Kuru.
Yep. That's how they talk to the birds when they come over.
It started off that way.
You have to go like this when you go.
Yeah, I like that.
And people throw seeds at you. pigeon talk is, I don't know why they call it pigeon. It's what my mom would kick into when she would talk to Polynesians. And it's this accent that's like, oh, brother, you know the kind thing over there? And they all go, yeah.
But so it can mean good or bad, dekine.
Yeah, whatever dekine is, like, if you want something on the table, you just go, oh, the kind thing on the table. And I'm supposed to Oh, yeah. On the table. I got it.
It puts a lot of pressure on the receiver of that message to try and...
But they're looking at it with their eyes when they say it. That's how you're supposed to...
You know, the thing.
That's so... Yeah, that's, cool. That's what Pete told us, but we didn't really trust him. So we thought we'd clarify.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Anything else that Pete told you about?
Just in general, not even about Polynesian culture. We just don't trust anything Junior says.
He said it in surfing. When there's a really big wave, they call it a big mama.
I have never this is surfed.
Okay. That's also anything. Something Jordan
that's also
made
something
up.
I made up.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But yes.
I would have believed you.
It sounds like a sure. Yeah, I think it sounds pretty cool.
They're like big mama.
Yeah. He's trying to get into the zeitgeist a little bit. So you were, are you born and raised in Utah then?
Yes. Or? Born and raised in Utah. Actually, we moved to Washington when I was 11. So okay. I guess halfway raised. And then I moved back when I was like 25.
What part of Washington were you in?
Vancouver.
No way. Nice. Have we talked about that? Because I was born and raised in Battleground.
Battleground. No. We never talked about it. No,
we haven't, and we won't.
Battleground's a good area. You guys got the fairgrounds out there. And
yeah. Nice Clark County Fair.
Thing. Yeah.
So they've changed the battleground to a fairground. Doesn't sound very respectful.
I told you why it's called Battleground.
Because there was supposed to be a battle there that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was a designated battleground.
So they should just call it Fairground.
Should call it Cowards.
Cowards Pass. Cowards
Pass. Yeah, I think it's Richfield for a while had like the award for like the worst mascot in America. Right? They were the Sputters.
Yeah.
And their middle school was like the Tater Tots.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, Spud.
Like a potato.
Like a potato Spud.
Yeah. Yeah, they released this magazine with all like the mascots. Mine was, I went to Columbia River. We were the last ones to hold out on the offensive mascot. we were the Columbia River Chieftain Indians.
That's like a
no going around that one. They really clarified what they meant.
They changed it to the Rapids now, and it's like,
yeah. And in a small town, I think it's in Amarillo, Texas. I don't know if this is true anymore. There's lots of like dust devils out there, like in tornadoes sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But they were like, I don't remember what the name exactly was. I think they were like the dust devils, which is kind of like a brown looking tornado. And so the logo is just this brown tornado, but it conjured a different.
What did it conjure?
Well, I don't want to get. Like I don't want to get.
I don't understand.
It just it's a looked. NATO. And it had like arms.
And that one lost to a potato. That's what.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm jealous. Can I say, not to change topics, I'm jealous of your beard.
What do you mean, man? Your beard looks good.
No, it does. It's out. I shaved. And
do you grow out a thick beard? I don't know if I've really seen you with a. Maybe I have.
Well, no, I'm not at my special. I shaved, but I recently, after I got married, found out that I'm a beard guy. Which is a good idea.
No, wait, what do you mean beard?
Well, beard, like a fool. Like I had a beard like down to here.
Yeah.
But I kept clipping it and trying to even it out, and I was making it worse. I just shaved.
Does your wife not like the big beard?
No, she said ew when I shaved.
Oh, she likes the beard.
She likes it. Yeah.
So why did you trim it? You were sick of it?
Really attractive with half my face covered. Yeah. No, it was uneven, and so I thought I'd start over. And then I came out and I said hi to my 4-year-old. And she was like,
she was crying.
She wasn't crying, but she like picked her dress up and like hit her head. And she's like, why did you do that? Like, wouldn't look at me.
Josh, I want to hear a little bit about how you got involved with comedy, where your comedy journey started.
Oh, man. Okay. It started when I moved back to Utah, which happened because a girl, I broke up with her. And she was like, I'm going to go serve a mission. So I was like, cool. And so we broke up. And I was, and then she started dating someone. And I was like,
she didn't go on the mission, huh?
Oh, she did.
Oh. Okay.
But I moved back to Utah and she got called to Salt Lake. And so that was
wow,
amazing. But I was I was just flipping through the paper and I was trying to find something to do, and I saw that Wise Guys held open mic, and they had put an ad in the paper, and so I was like, oh, I'll go try that. And yeah, the first time was really good, which I guess was a mistake because like the next 13 times, it's like
terrible. That was Jordan's experience too. Yeah.
What Trolley Square? What year did you start?
2009.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first joke?
I do. Okay. I do. Because there was one that I would tell before I would tell in high school, my senior year. So it was. I went on stage and I was like, so I was walking around your mall here. Looks pretty cool. And just talking with my buddy, and someone had heard something that I had said and got offended, I guess. And they started yelling at me and they called me a homophobe, and I got mad because I'm not a homophobe. Like, I love homes. I love living in them and I love staying in them. I hope I own one day. It's gay people that scare me.
That's good. Is that, is that in your special? I think that might be in your special.
I think so, yeah. I think that was like the line. They may have let me brush up against it.
That's funny. So is stand-up something you always wanted to do, or were you just feeling sad and lost? Like so many people go to open mics.
They just wind up there.
It's true, though.
I thought of doing stand-up comedy, gosh, for a long time. My dad brought a videotape of Brian Regan's specials home, and we watched one of his specials.
On VHS?
We can edit, right?
Well, no, I didn't know. Probably were VHS tapes of him.
I don't know if there's VHS. It's actually Bill Cosby, but I didn't.
It's all right. So many people say that Bill Cosby was a big influence.
Yeah, I mean, watch it. It was Bill Cosby himself. And that was the thing that I was like, you can just get paid if you're funny enough. And I am still waiting.
Turns out, no, you can't. That's funny. Man. But, so in your stand-up career, do you have a gig that, you know, is the weirdest or craziest that you... you remember doing that?
The first offsite gig that I was booked at, me and this guy, Jeff Clayson, we got booked to do this benefit show for the Amber Alert. And that's all I was told.
For the Amber Alert.
For the Amber Alert. Yeah, they were trying to raise money. Yeah.
Before Amber Alert was part of mainstream culture. This was, people are like, well, I don't know what that means. Like,
19. Oh, it was this, like, Amber, it was the Amber Alert. How old do you think I am?
Wait, what?
I'm joking.
No, we went and it was a costume party, and so that was like the first thing that was like weird. Like, we were greeted at the door by a giant strawberry, and like there was a Captain Marvel and stuff walking around, and just everyone all these like Halloween costumes in like September, and we're like, cool. And then they showed us to a table and they offered us food. And then the lady was like, we have a couple of presentations before you go up. And then we'll introduce the comics and then you guys will do your thing. And we're like, okay. And so here's what the presentations were. The first presentation was a musical slideshow to all of the children who have ever gone missing in the state of Utah. Right. And then the last one was the first girl, the reason that Utah has an Amber Alert. They put her picture up and they left it. And then they had Elizabeth Smarthzad come up and speak. Then the Attorney General. And then they had the mom of the little girl. And so me and Jeff were just sitting in the back and we're like, oh my gosh. And the lady comes up and she's like crying from all this stuff, and she's like, and now we're gonna have some comedy to lift our spirits. Like, oh no.
Wow,
that's a tough gig.
Yeah, that was
that was your first like not at your home comedy club gig.
Yeah, that was the first gig. I used to complain about it to Keith, and then Keith told me about how he did a 10-year class reunion, or 40-year class reunion.
I've heard the story too.
Yeah, and he's like making fun of all these pictures on the wall. He's like, we're sideburns. Where are sideburns at? Make some noise, sideburns. And he keeps doing it. And then someone in the front, like, looked at him and they're like, they're all dead.
Yeah, it was an in memoriam slideshow.
Where sideburns at? Oh, my
and I was gosh. Like, yeah, you win. I'll stop That's complaining about funny. That.
That's too funny.
And then I was thinking about it, Pepper Tree.
Tell the listeners about Pepper Tree.
Oh,
Pepper
my gosh. Tree. Pepper Tree was awful. And they did a dance party after comedy, like directly after.
Right, right.
Like they would be setting up while you're trying to tell jokes. But it wouldn't matter because no one cares. Yeah, they're all just standing up and just talking. And I remember getting heckled with, "You suck, get off the stage." And I said into the mic, like the headliner thought my responses were funny or funnier than my set. But my response to "You suck, get off the stage" was, "I got like a half hour left."
That's
and so I did my set and I was so angry. And when I left the stage, I was like, "Hey, I'm Josh Winiklofi, and I wish there was a dam nearby I could blow up." And I left. And everyone heard that, and they all booed me. And I found out later that it was because, like, the Teton Dam ruptured and flooded all of Idaho Falls.
You and didn't know that at the time.
No, I had no idea.
Why did your mind go to dam you could blow up?
I don't know why I was just thinking of, like, the best, like, terrorist act I could. And I was like, that's the thing you could see, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, just...
Wow.
Well, you're kind of a dark, twisted guy.
Yeah,
Josh, we're twisted. Learning today.
Skin tone, too, right?
No. Oh,
yeah. Why would you say that,
Jeez,
no. I know, right?
Did you do well at the Amber Alert thing, though?
That's a great sentence. That's a great question.
So it was unpaid. I felt so bad for doing this to poor Jeff Clayson, but I did my 10, and I was just like, "All right, see you guys later." And I went directly to the exit and got in my car.
They heard your wheels screech at you.
There was no way I was spending another second in that room. That was
that's wow. Rough with, like, private events where you do it, and then it's just like, so you're in a good spot where there was somebody else going right. after you. But when you're at a corporate event, and it's just like, "All right, you're done, but you kind of want to sit and hang out with the employees." Like, no, like, let me get out of here.
Right. Do you know what bugs me when you do corporate shows is when that one person, there's always like one guy, is always like, "Hey man, can you get Ted? Just yeah. get Ted." And you're like, "All right."
Oh yeah.
And you just want to go on stage and be like, "Where's Ted at?" And when he points up, you're like, "You're an idiot. No one likes you." Did I get him, guys?
Just yeah. this sad, quiet guy that works in our IT that everybody hates.
Get him. Get Ted. Did I get him?
That's fun. Well, we asked you to come with a hot take today.
Oh, something, man.
A controversial opinion.
A controversial opinion. I don't even know.
Before the show, you should tell us about this hot take of times past that you were teaching us about earlier.
Of times past.
The Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic not breaking
down. Conspiracy hot take theory.
No, I was watching this documentary about how there are all these testimonies about the Titanic not breaking in half, like how James Cameron depicted in his movie, that it was like, it was just this log that went up and then just went straight down.
Well, this was like right after.
Yeah, it was right after. And they were saying the company that built it paid off a bunch of the crew. Because, like, the passengers were all like, "I could have swore I saw it broke." But, like they were like, "No, like, it went straight down.
Well, here's some more cruise tickets." No, you're going to break.
But did they think that added some, that made it better somehow?
Like maybe
to me,
to
it
the
sunk
building.
Either way.
Right, yeah. That's what I was like, well, I mean, like, the iceberg still took it out either way.
Because like, it seemed like that'd be like, no, it sunk, but it meant to. It just was going down. That's just, it took a turn.
We did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I do think that it's like interesting to be told that, like, you know, like, you visually saw something and they're like, "That's not how it happened."
Yeah, it's wild.
Can I tell you a podcast idea? Is that faux pas to talk about a podcast idea on a podcast?
No, this is great.
As long as this is your modern hot take.
Oh man, I don't know.
Hot take is this is a better podcast idea than this.
So my day job is to do road testing. And I typically do it for teenagers and people with DUIs. But I want to do like a podcast where I take like just licensed people, kind of like a checkup, you know, out on a road test. And then if they fail, I take their license away and shred it.
That would be, yeah, that would be.
But you're mic'd up. That's,
oh yeah, that's like while I'm shredding it, I'm like, yeah, you're watching this.
Are you mic'd up on the drive too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's most of it, right? Would be you driving around with them.
Yeah, and making fun of them for not.
That's great.
Parallel parking.
It'd be funny if it was only the part where you shredded their license.
This is the whole hour.
Welcome back to Josh Bonacalafi. I'm about to get rid of this guy's license. You did really bad today, sir. Anyway.
I did a test run with my dad, and the score system works like golf, right? So it's like zero is a perfect, and then every point you get is a demerit.
Okay.
So I took my dad out, and I was like, oh, good news and bad news, man. I mean, you did get like 178 points. And he's like, yeah, see? And I'm like, yeah, anything over 21 is a fail. That's
awesome. I was super scared when I got my driver's license. I was really scared to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So calming presence like you, I would have got my license earlier. But I kind of waited a year because I was scared of driving.
You took the test and then you waited a year to get your license?
No, like I didn't take drivers until, usually it's when you're 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't get mine until I was 17.
Oh.
Because I would be driving with people and I was like, it'd be so easy just to turn and hit a car.
You would think that?
Like, that scared me. Not that I would do it, but
yeah. I thought you were just like, it would be so easy. Yeah, it would be so easy.
I could just like ruin someone's life.
I'm
going to
blow up a dam, and then I'm going to
crash this car into a dam. That's
no, funny. But I remember, so I finally did the driving test with the instructor, and I hit the curb on parallel parking.
Oof.
But I still passed. Should I have passed or should I fail?
So did you hit the curb or did you pull up on top of the curb?
There might have been a little bit of a pull-up.
I don't know. I think it would depend. Like, I mean, I have some kids that will, like, they'll bump the curb and then they'll start freaking out. And I'm like, oh, it's all right. It's not that big of a deal. And then I'll have, like, kids that, like, pull up and almost hit the tree.
Yeah, I wasn't
like,
that on the side.
And I'm like, and they're like, yeah, sorry. And then they get all surprised when they fail. Like,
but yeah. Is that enough? Even just, what if they're perfect at everything else?
Yeah, pulling up. It is dangerous actions.
Whoa. Like, what's the, maybe I shouldn't have a license.
What's the worst thing you can do? What's the highest scoring?
The highest scoring thing?
But still pass? Or just highest scoring?
Highest scoring in general, but I'm interested in that too.
Oh, the highest scoring thing would probably be hitting a car. I've been in a couple accidents.
While you're doing the driving test?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the funniest part of it is that you just kind of get out and you help the kid like figure out like, oh, you got to get your insurance. You got to talk to him. And then while you're standing there, you're like, all right, well, I got another test coming. So you just sort of split and go back to the office.
That's crazy.
But you have a brake on your side, right?
Oh, I don't use my car. Dude, you crazy, man? I use customers' vehicles.
Does your car have a brake in it? On the other side? Like,
well, the driving school car would.
Yeah.
But we test, for various reasons, we test in customers' vehicles. So unless the customer has one, which they usually don't.
Okay, good. Because I was about to say, you were a little bit at fault on that wreck.
Oh, no. I make sure it's not my fault.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought that pedal on the passenger side is such an interesting thing. It's like what? Why stop there? Maybe just put a steering wheel?
The car. It splits in half.
You can?
You can have a passenger side wheel, but... Well, here's the thing with, like, the chicken brake. Is, like, when kids come to me and they've been driving with someone who's been using that chicken brake the entire time, then there's, like, an expectation that they're like, well, I thought the car stopped itself. I'm like, no, man.
Oh, man.
That's not one of these cars.
If I was about to take a driving test and I'd gotten to the car... And the other side just had a full-on car next to it. I would go, they have so little faith in me.
And then you realize halfway through your steering wheel doesn't even work.
I'm not
work.
Even driving.
It's a placebo wheel.
Yeah, it's like when I tell my nephew he's playing video games with me. Yeah, we're both doing this.
To answer your question about the worst thing. So I've had a kid that was like really, and he was like arguing with me too. I brought him back and I was like, all right, well, you didn't pass today. And he was all mad. And he's like, why? And I was like going through his errors and stuff. And he's like, but I want to know why I failed. And I'm like, all right, well, do you remember at this intersection right before we did the U-turn? Did you see those pedestrians crossing the street? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, that's why she almost plowed through a bunch of pedestrians.
Yeah.
I saw them because I looked. That's why you are not passing. So hitting a human is probably
the very worst thing. Probably could've figured that one out on my own.
I think if we had one good brainstorm sesh, we could have come up with
No, but is there a specific human? Like, if you hit the governor, the worst.
If Hitler was crossing the street, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's good. It's an automatic pass.
I'd give you 4 licenses from 4 different states.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, where can people follow you on social media and stuff?
You can look up The American Islander on all your socials. That's at my name can't be spelled correctly ever. So it's The American Islander, and then you can find it, and then you can find me on Facebook, and let's be friends. That's what I don't need fans.
No.
I would love fans.
You don't need them.
But I don't need them. Send friend requests.
That's an interesting point. Before we go, I want to ask you, is there something, if you have a hard to spell or pronounce last name, is there something that you wish people would do?
Try harder. Like, do you as a, like, to try to...
Like, to, so they don't mispronounce it, they don't misspell it, they don't, you know...
Oh, like, read it. You know,
because your name, it really is just how it's spelled.
Oh, yeah, it's phonetic. Yeah.
Can you say it?
Photo Calafi, right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
You know Jack? You remember Jack?
Yeah.
So Jack, when I started hosting a lot...
He's manager of the local comedy club.
Yeah, he started in Trolley, and then I think he was West Valley for a while, when West Valley was up, but... When I started hosting a lot, that was getting sent to Trolley Square, like a ton, to host there. And Jack always had to call me on stage. And one day Jack came to me and he's like, Josh, you gotta do something about that name, man.
Yeah, it's on you, really.
Yeah. So the next week I came and I put my name down on the list as Joshua Phono Calafi. And he's like, Josh, that's not the name. So the next week it was Joshua T. Phono Calafi. And then he was like, when he was walking up to me, I'm like, Jack, if you say it again, I got like 5 other middle names, man.
That's like, you know, longer and longer.
But that's, if they find me on social media, it's under Joshua T. Phono Calafi because of Jack.
Oh, that's funny.
On that note, you know, Tim, he was in Ogden randomly, but he did the offstage mic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, who I've known for 11 years.
Yeah.
And he brought me the stages. Your host, Jordan Mankins.
Mankins.
That's going to go as the name at the beginning of this podcast. Yeah. Your
nameplate. So. Mankins. Even, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Joshua T. Phono Calafi.
Joshua T. Phono Calafi.
And thanks to you viewers. Make sure to tune in next week for another fire episode of the Driver Comedy Podcast. Check out drivercomedy.com for upcoming, you know, specials dropping and that sweet, sweet merch. And we will see you next time. Goodbye, folks.
Bye, everybody.